Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
And you certainly are hearing Classic Coast this night, aren't you? Good morning from the high desert. I'm Art Bell. In a moment, we'll get back to Dr. Roger Lear, the claw appendage, and the exclamation, "Well, that explains it." I've been trying to think myself an appendage on the side of a foot that amounts to a claw. What would be the purpose of that? Well, little extra balance? Yeah, I guess it would provide that. The appendage of a predator? That might explain it. I wonder what did explain it. Doctor?
Well, I don't know if we really have an explanation, but as I said, Ibirajara jumped up and said, that explains it. And I said, what is it that it explains? And he said, when he went to investigate the area where the three girls saw the creature kneeling, he said he could see the impression in the ground. But just about where the foot was, there was a round hole in the ground. And he couldn't figure out what could have
been. Oh, that explains the footprint.
Right.
Oh, so, then my guess is as good as any, a predator's foot. I don't know.
Well, you know, monkeys have what's called a monkey grooming claw. And when I went through all that research that we did on the Gary Lowry case with the so-called claw, we found that certain animals have claws for grooming.
Right.
Others have claws with a little canal in them that contain the gland that puts out poison. So I don't think this looks like a description of a creature that has a claw for a weapon. So
was this procedure that the doctor was doing, was all of this in some way recorded?
Were there cameras in the room?
Is that's
that
right,
question? No. He said there were no military personnel in the room. They were all outside. But the intimidation was there, and he was not supposed to come out until the job was done.
God, you would think something of this magnitude, working on an alien creature, would want, you know, they would want to memorialize every second of it if from the military point of view.
Well, I bet your bottom dollar that if it occurred here, there would have been a camera in each corner of the room, and it would have been a sterile environment, and they wouldn't have been just wearing a scrub suit and a mask.
Right.
They would have been wearing a helmet, and the air would have been evacuated, and they would have been using a rebreathing system.
I'm sure all that's true, yes, but not in Brazil.
Not in Brazil, know. Jumping to the end, the supposedly the bodies were taken to the University of Campinas, and it was that area that during the Civil War, some tunnels were dug and rooms were set up.
Wait! The bodies were taken.
Right.
Now, what? I want to know what happened to this alien.
Yeah. Okay. Let's. I just threw that in.
Well, I was afraid this alien was one of the bodies. It wasn't, was it?
Yes, unfortunately.
It was. Yeah. Well, now, it was there to be treated for what I thought was roughly the same thing as a broken leg or something. Right?
Right.
So where? How do we get from there to dead?
Okay. Next part to the story. Part two.
Yes.
The rest of the story. The surgeon went ahead and he looked at the wound. It was a compound fracture, which means the bone was sticking through the skin.
Yeah.
And he reduced the fracture as best as possible. He approximated the bone ends. I mean, you put the bone back and you put the ends back together.
Yeah.
And then in human medicine, what we do is we take some stabilizing device, a pin, a screw, a plate, or something, and we plate it and fixate it. That's called fixating a fracture, so that the thing stays, and then you close the surrounding tissue and you close the skin, and then you put a cast on it.
Normally painful, but not fatal.
Normally painful, not fatal. Could be fatal if there was something like an embolus, which is a clot that forms and gets carried out through the lung, but very rare. So, normal people...
They never told me that when I had my compound fracture. I was hang gliding, broke my arm. They never said a word about embolisms. I'll bear that in mind.
Well, how long ago was that?
I was in my 20s, and it was the crashing part of hang gliding.
Well, since that was just yesterday, you know, we wouldn't expect to find any difference. But today, you would go in, and they would tell you everything that was going to happen to you, even having a general anesthesia, that you're going to be a possibility you might die. And then we discuss embolism.
They really would talk about all of that today?
Yeah, today.
In my case, I just walked into the doctor's office. A nurse was there. He set the arm. It freaked her out so badly, she started sweating and fainted. I had so much dope in me that I didn't feel anything. And anyway, that's how that worked. I never heard a word about embolisms or anything else. So they would tell you all of that today.
Yeah, tell you all that today. And if it was an operating room, when I started this, which was a good number of years ago, we used to go into surgery, and it was very lighthearted, and it was fun. You enjoyed doing what you're doing. If you wanted to crack a joke, you cracked a joke. Today you go in, there's a camera in either corner of the room, all your conversation is being recorded, and you better not smile even under your mask or somebody will detect it, and that's negligence, you know.
Today's medicine, great, just great. All right, now let's not get away from this story.
Yeah, so anyway, here's the guy on the table, and he's got the fracture, and it's being set, the bone ends are put together, and the doctor's trying to decide what to use for a fixation device on an unknown creature with unknown bone. And so he goes in to look at the fracture site again and get it cleaned up, and amazingly, he can't move the ends of the bone. They don't move.
They don't move.
Can't pull them apart. So I started asking him.
Meaning what? That it healed already?
It had already started to heal.
Wow.
And I asked him about the color. He said the color was pinkish, which was very the same color as a human bone. He says the bone was pretty much like human bone, except that it had these large cavities, or what he called lacunae, in the bone. And he says what that did was gave the bone a tensile strength, which was much, much greater than human bone, and made it lighter.
Okay.
Then I asked him about the blood. I said, was it blue or yellow or green? You know, what color was the blood? And he kind of chuckled at that point and said, no, it was the same color as human blood. It was red. And I asked him about the...
Did he get any samples?
Oh, yeah. They took samples and they sent it to the lab and they ran all kinds of tests on it.
And
looked for, the electrolytes and things. And he said the cellular structure was... very similar to human blood, with the exception that the small white cells, the platelets, were, I think he said, tenfold over what it is in the human body.
Huh.
And he said the blood would clot almost immediately when it came out of the blood vessel. But he didn't know whether that was because of the increased number of platelets or whether the blood was being introduced into an atmosphere that was far different than what it was used to.
Well, that number of platelets might indicate a more efficient clotting and healing system, right?
Yeah, it's very possible. But it also, you know, maybe they didn't come from the same gaseous environment as we have on Earth's atmosphere.
So this man now had a sample of alien blood.
Right. Blood, sample of alien blood and bone. They sent them both to the lab. So anyway, he went ahead and, to the best of his ability, just didn't fixate it, and he closed the rest of it. And what he said happened next was the most amazing thing that he'd ever seen. He said he didn't put it into the cast because he didn't know what to expect and felt that it was safer, you know, both for the patient and for him, because if something had happened to the patient, who knows what would happen to him.
Right.
So he watched it, and he said in a 24-hour period, everything healed, including the skin.
Okay. So right now we have a healthy, healed alien, and soon we have a dead alien. I mean, how do we get from there to there?
Okay. I said, what condition was the alien in when, or the being in when he left the hospital facility with a military guard? And he very specifically said to me he was in satisfactory medical condition. Now, that, Art, is a very specific medical term. You talk about any dignitary or actor or actress that's reported in a hospital, and they tell you what condition. It's critical, it's satisfactory, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So when you say satisfactory condition, that means that all vital signs are present and the patient is ambulatory. That means they can walk okay and they can breathe and everything is functioning well. That is the condition that this... this creature left the hospital with a military escort. He was taken immediately and put into a military truck, and from there, witnesses outside of the hospital said that the trucks left the back portion of Humanitas Hospital and immediately took him to another hospital.
Hmm.
Now, we don't know whether something transpired after it left the Hospital General, or whatever the reason, but they took him to another hospital. Now, should we talk again about the last thing that happened in the operating room?
Please.
I asked the doctor, as any curious person would ask, medical and otherwise, did you have any communication with this creature?
Thank you. Yes.
He became silent. And he said, well, I'm going to tell you something that happened in the operating room. You can believe it or not. He said, when we had almost finished the surgery, he said the room began to fill with a greenish haze. So he didn't know whether it was coming from the creature or whether it was coming from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. He didn't know whether it was going to be toxic. They didn't smell anything. And as the room filled with this greenish haze, he turned around and he saw that the source of it was the being laying on the table. He locked eyes with the creature, which he didn't want to do. And he said at this point, he could not remove his eyes. And he said that it downloaded into his head, was the best way he could describe it, these thought grams. And he said it was like somebody had physically taken a rubber hammer and hit him over the head time after time after time after time, resulting in something that was akin to the worst possible migraine headache with nausea and vomiting, which lasted for over 2 weeks.
Was information being imparted with
yes.
every hit of the mallet?
Yes. So I asked him if he would tell us what this creature told him, and he said, I'm only going to tell you two things, and that were two things that it talked about in relation to the human race. And he said that it's they, wherever they or wherever they come from, felt sorry for human beings. And I said, why? And he said, for two main reasons. Number one, that human beings have the capability of doing everything that they could do. And as an example, he said, it would not be necessary for wherever he came from to be brought to a facility to have the repair done to his body that he had done here, that they could either do it singularly or they could join together and heal, and that we could do the same.
So healing would occur in a very different way. He was explaining then to the healer that otherwise this would have been done in a very different way at home.
That's
basically
correct.
Okay.
And the other reason was something that was quite earth-shaking. He said that human beings, he felt sorry for human beings because they were totally detached from their spiritual self.
Hmm. Some of us perhaps more than others, but that may be largely true, I suppose.
Well, I think that has a lot of deep meaning. So this takes us, out the back door into a military vehicle, and he's taken to another hospital. And then within the 24-hour period, a small casket is seen being taken out of the back door of that hospital, and with him inside, as reported by medical personnel that were in the hospital.
And there's no possibility of getting information on what occurred in there?
Of course there's possibilities, greater possibilities than certainly anything that had to do with a body seen in Roswell. These people are young, and Brazilians don't like to keep their mouths shut.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So there's going to be a whole lot more to this story then, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. There's more witnesses coming forth all the time, and a little anecdotal story if we have time for it.
We do. We've got plenty of time.
Sure. The Brazilian army, the military base there at Sergeant's Camp, is a 5-day-a-week assignment for the officers. The officers go home. They don't stay there on base. And because you're used to going home and having an interaction with your family, your wife, mm-hmm. and so on for the weekends,
yes.
they make plans.
Sure.
So the weekend went by, the husbands didn't come home. So Monday and Tuesday...
Back away a little from your phone, you're crackling on
okay.
me.
That better?
Yes.
Monday and Tuesday, the wives were out doing the things like wives do here, getting their hair done, nails, and so on, complaining to their operators that their husbands didn't come home that weekend, and their plans were ruined, everything that they had planned, doing this and doing that, and what kind of a lousy excuse did they have? The husbands were chasing aliens around the countryside.
So that's what they told their wives, huh?
They told the wives. Yeah,
that's... Oh, isn't that fascinating? And then all the bodies, you said, were delivered to one place?
Yes, everything was eventually wound up at the University of Campinas, which is a large university, about 40, 50 miles, I think, from Varginha. And... it was at this university that the American military presence was seen.
Huh. And I suppose that's where everything terminates, more or less, once the U.S. gets involved.
Yes, yes. And there, we know also from other testimony that an autopsy was done, and we know who did it. A very famous Brazilian pathologist by the name of Baden Palares. He, if you remember, was the...
How do we know he did the autopsy?
Because the witnesses there at the university said that he was there doing the autopsy. We got the testimony. Also, he was a teacher there and held classes, and the class members knew that he was doing an autopsy on some kind of a non-human, non-terrestrial being.
Huh.
And they asked him, they pushed him, they begged him as part of the class structure for further information. And he told them, he said, I will never talk about this in your lifetime.
So many witnesses seem to say about that, don't they?
They certainly do. So we know from there now that the stuff was taken eventually back to Sao Paulo, and from Sao Paulo, a military transport plane took everything back, undoubtedly back here somewhere, but we don't know where. Goes into the pot.
Somewhere in America, though, are the remains of those aliens.
That's correct. The Virginia aliens are somewhere in the U.S., and Lord knows how many others from somewhere else.
And no indication, though, of where in the U.S.?
Not a clue. Once you leave a country like Brazil, the veil of secrecy goes up, and the information goes completely black.
All right, hold it right there, and I'm sure that many of you are going to have questions. I'm going to try and fit some of them in. What a hell of a story this has been, huh? What happened in Brazil on the very night that we're learning that Brazil is about ready to throw open all of its UFO files. Now, whether that will include this story, I say, probably not. And I'm sure Dr. Lear does as well. I'm Art Bell. If you have any questions for Dr. Lear, Dr. Roger Lear, who just told you one of the most incredible stories ever told on this program, then here are the numbers.
To talk with Art Bell, call the wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is. Dr. Lear has written The Aliens and the Scalpel, very popular book, The Scientific Study of Alien Implants, and now, of course, UFO Crash in Brazil. You've heard a great deal tonight. In the book, obviously, you're going to get all the details. You know, with the quality of eyewitness testimony in this case that we've heard about, for example, tonight so far with Dr. Lear, I think it's clear that in the sense that this is contemporary there is as much, if not more, evidence of alien life in this case than there was in Roswell, at least as much as. And it's so contemporary. I mean, it virtually just happened. As the doctor pointed out, the people are young. Brazilians are given to talk about these subjects, as evidenced by their government's announcement, just to release all the information they have on ufology. Hopefully it would include something of this magnitude. But in that way, it is bigger than Roswell, right, Doctor?
That certainly is. I've thought about this. I've given it some thought over and over again. I actually talked about it in the book. Certainly we touched on some of the major events of the case. And probably we should finish by saying that the story does not end with the events of the week of January the 20th or the...
In what sense?
The death of the military police officer, because 3 months later, an individual who was giving a party at the local Varginha Zoo in a small room, which I visited, in a secluded area of the zoo. The zoo is very jungle-like in Varginha. And she stepped out on the porch during this little party and decided to have a cigarette. So she lit up a cigarette, and as she turned to light the cigarette, she looked and saw staring at her from the upper level of the porch a creature looking at her, which she described exactly the same way as the other eyewitnesses in the Varginha case, except that this creature, she said, was wearing some kind of short helmet that was gold in color.
Is there any way for the witnesses... Did they manage to discern? I mean, you told me quite a bit, but did they come to some conclusion about whether these beings were benign or whether they had, well, I don't know, evil in some kind of bad intent toward us?
There was no indication by any of the witnesses that any of the creatures that were involved in the capture by the Brazilian military or seen by civilian witnesses did anything to provoke anybody. Certainly the creature that the two military police officers stopped to help and one to pick up and take in his car, it was very evident that he gave almost no resistance whatsoever. Even the creatures that the Brazilian army and fire department chased through the clearing into the little woods only seemed to be running from them. They did not seem to be hostile in any way. And if one of them was shot, again, we don't know exactly what happened because the witnesses could not see what happened in the little forested area.
Doctor, what about evidence after the fact? I mean, for example, blood samples. That would be extremely convincing evidence, I would think.
Well, here's my hope, Art. I made a very sincere promise to the orthopedic surgeon that I would not reveal his name.
Okay, but still, if you have blood, you have a DNA structure, for example, right?
Yeah, right, exactly.
So here's
the deal. I didn't get any reports. I didn't see any x-rays. I wasn't able to bring back anything, but I gave this man my word. I would not reveal his name because he was terrified. And I think now, at this late date, with all these things going on, if I went back there,
yes,
it's got to be somebody made a copy of the lab report.
You're damn right. Are you going to go back?
Yes. I'm going to try and get down there before the end of the year.
And is your intent, you have intent to come back with that kind of, I mean, that kind of evidence would rock the world, Doctor.
Yeah, well, I think, there's a greater chance from what's going on here, what's going on now, that, we could possibly get this evidence. because if the Brazilian Air Force is turning this material over and it's going to become public knowledge, then somebody who has one of these documents say, okay, it's public knowledge, you know, here, take it, it's yours.
So your expectation of this announcement, this timely announcement, I might add, by the Brazilian government, they're going to let everything loose. You don't expect it to include this?
Personally, no. But the people who might have something, you know, without it coming from the government or from the military, they might decide, well, look, you know, the Air Force is letting stuff go, you know. Maybe these documents I took home, hey, I'll let people take a look at it.
All right. A couple of very quick questions. You're on the air with Dr. Roger Lear. Where are you calling from, please?
Hi, I'm calling from Portland, Oregon.
Portland. And you have a question?
Yeah, I didn't catch the very beginning of this. When did this happen?
When did the incident occur? You're right. Yeah. You didn't catch the beginning. You might want to catch the replay. It was a very intense story, and I trust they'll replay it at the end of the program tonight, hopefully in your market. All right, Doctor?
January the 20th of 1996.
And it occurred over a period of how many hours or days, would you say, actively going on?
The intense activity took place from the night of January the 19th through the 22nd.
Through the 22nd. All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Roger Lear. Good morning.
Hi, my name's Katina. I'm from Greenville, South Carolina.
Yes.
My question was more about the gentleman who caught the illness. My sister recently passed away with an illness that was incredibly similar to the one the doctor described. She had an infection in her blood. She had pneumonia. She had the areas on her skin. But she is not active in the military or anything like that. As far as I know, she's never had any, like, you know, abductions or anything of that sort.
And what was the cause of death in her case listed as?
Same kind of thing. She just had an autopsy.
No. In this case, there was no cause of death listed. Not really. So what specifically was said about your sister?
Okay. Well, every time they did an extraction of the material or bacteria or infection that was in her body,
yes,
they never could get anything to grow so they could study it. They never were able to identify it.
Wow. Well, that is pretty weird, Doctor.
I'd like to know if someone received a death certificate.
I mean, she just passed away the 16th.
So this month?
Yes, just recently.
Well, it would be interesting to see what it says on the death certificate as the cause of death, because in the United States, no matter what state you're in, to meet all the legal qualifications, a cause of death must be listed.
Okay. Well, she also had, like, the abscess.
Yes, we've got that. Will you please contact us with that information when you get it?
I will definitely do that.
All right. Thank you very much, and take care. God, you wouldn't want to think, would you, Doctor, that something like that is loose in some way?
Well, how do we know? You know, the whole abduction phenomena, for example, people are very reticent to talk about it. They have, you know, many fears. Seven traumas is what late John Mack, Dr. Mack, listed in his book, Abduction. So who in the world is going to talk about death, you know, following an abduction scenario?
No, you're quite right. Sure. Sure. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Roger Lear. Good morning.
Karen from Sacramento.
Karen, you're going to have to yell at us. You're not too loud. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Is that better?
Better.
Okay. Yeah, I missed it when you came back from break when the doctor looked at the guy's claw on the foot and said, now I understand. What did he understand?
Huh. We did cover that, but nevertheless, doctor?
What Ubejara Rodriguez, the chief investigator in the case, was so shocked about, I had to do with the fact that when he examined the area where the creature was kneeling by the wall, if he found a little round hole in the ground at the area where the foot was, and that was the explanation, because it was probably this appendage that made the little round hole.
Okay, well, that should do it. Let's go to first-time caller line. You're on the air with Dr. Roger Lear. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi. What is your first name? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello.
It's me, Amanda.
Amanda. And where are you, Amanda?
I'm on the North Carolina-South Carolina line.
Way back there, okay.
And I've been waiting for a show like this.
Well, here it is.
I have a question. I'd like to ask Dr. Lear to give some more information on the implants he's removed. And I also think I have implants.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's a whole nother show. And we've done shows on the implants. But briefly, doctor, if you want to... It is something you do. You remove these implants. I think perhaps publicly, at least, you've removed more, and probably even in private, than any other doctor in the world of these sorts of suspected things, right?
That's correct, Art. And I've been in practice for 41 years, and before I ever got involved with the abduction phenomena or UFOs and this nature, I've extracted hundreds of things from the human foot, from paper to glass to hair to nails to whatever. And in all cases, I can honestly say I was only interested in two things. One was whether it came out satisfactory and it was all gone, or if there was any lesions in the area to know that they were benign and healed. I never gave any thought to what these objects might be. But in answer to the lady's question, we've now done 11 cases, which produced 12 objects. And 11 of these have had scientific interest, very most unusual findings. I can still refer you to my first book, The Aliens and the Scalpel, which I think you can still get on Amazon.com, or a casebook, Alien Implants, I think is still available on the bookstores. I'm coming out with a second edition of the first book. So,
have you come to any conclusions, doctor, about the implants themselves, whether they're active, essentially, and controlling in some way, or simple listening and monitoring devices, or what?
I think they're, first of all, a form of advanced nanotechnology, and the purpose might be to transmit biological data that has to do with our changing DNA. And I don't have nowhere near the time to go into all the details that made me reach that conclusion. But I usually don't like to jump out and give answers for something that, you know, is conjecture. But scientifically, you can advance a theory, but it has to be taken into the laboratory and either proven or disproven. But at the present time, at the present date, 2005, after doing quite a few of these, that is my present feeling.
All right. You sure have, with everything you've told us tonight, earned a book plug, UFO Crash in Brazil. And we've been talking about it all night tonight, the UFO Crash in Brazil, this one, is available in this country now. It's on Amazon. Could I go cruising to Amazon and get it?
You should be able to. Or you can get it by calling an 800 number.
Oh, okay.
Which is 800-700-8733. Or you can go through my website, alienscalpel.com, alienscalpel.com. Or you can call 805-495-2613, and you can get a personalized copy. And if you say...
You'll sign it.
Right. I'll sign it, make it to whoever is ordering it. And if you say you've heard it on Coast to Coast with Art Bell, it's only $1 shipping and handling.
Oh, my gosh. All right. That last number where you can get the personalized version, let's have that again.
805-495-2613.
Oh, that's a good deal. Is that a number that you have to answer personally?
It'll either be answered by my secretary or by an answering device.
I see. How much is the book?
The book is $14.95.
Well, my guess is it's going to sell like hotcakes. with what's going on. It just couldn't be better, and I'm sure you must have jumped for joy when you heard the story about Brazil breaking in the press.
Couldn't believe it, and just as I said, another synchronicity, the way my life has been going.
I'm willing to bet you that the nightly news will probably pick this up. East of the Rockies, not a lot of time, but a question if you have it for Dr. Lear.
Yes, good morning. I was wondering if anyone knew the approximate weight of the creature.
The approximate weight. Okay, well, it was small. We know that. Doctor, weight?
Don't have an answer. I don't even remember if I asked that question because I don't know if there would have been time enough for any medical personnel to have weighed the creature.
Would be interesting, though. It would tell us something about density, I suppose, huh?
That it would. I would be very, very much. That was an excellent question.
Okay. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Roger Lear. Hello.
Good morning, gentlemen. Gary listening in on San Diego here, COGO, AM 600.
Well, of course.
Dr. Lear, I'm a friend with Dr. Stephen Greer, and we probably had a representative visit to you. His name is Dan from Hypertech. Anyway, my question is, now I know they're going to put these documents on the Internet somehow, but I think it would be a good idea if it had some officiation coming from the Brazilian government and posted on the Internet. What do you think about that?
Well, that's a fact, huh? Although whether we could expect that, even with this latest announcement, I don't know. Doctor?
I don't know. Taking a poke at this time. I mean, we know what's happened. I haven't seen it. I know that AJ is getting it translated into English because all the documents are written in Portuguese. So anything that's posted is going to have to be a translation. But the documents that I brought back from Brazil, signed by the Brazilian authorities, were in Portuguese, and I had them translated into English.
Do you think there'd be a way do you even hope to go down there, for example, and come back with a blood sample? I mean, that would just blow the lid off the whole world, because obviously there'd be presumably different DNA. I mean, the blood would be the smoking gun.
Oh, sure. You know, can it be done? Yeah. Somebody's got to have something somewhere. Don't tell me, that they did as good as they would do here. I mean, even the report by the farmer talking about how the Brazilian military crossed the field, I'm sure with the training that's being done here with our military groups for crash retrieval, far surpasses what they ever did there. There may be something still laying in that field.
When might you go back?
Well, sometime between now and the end of the year, there's a couple of things that are coming up.
Doctor, we're out of time. I've got to go. Brother, what a show. Thank you so very much.
Thank you for having me. Arthur.
Have a good night. There you have it. Classic stuff. Dr. Roger Lear from the High Desert. I'm Art Bell. Hope you have a great week. Good night.
Midnight in the desert, shooting stars across the sky. This magical journey will take us on a ride, filled with the longing, searching for the truth. Will we make it to tomorrow? Will the sun shine on you?